And then your body.
Oh, and if you're moving around, don't go beyond that black line because that's where the camera is pointing to.
So okay, I see.
From there to there.
Between the black lines. Okay.
Okay, you have control.
Hello, everyone. Silence. Hello, everyone. To my talk about building FPGA bitstreams with open source tools. The important part here is open source tools, because building bitstreams for FPGAs was quite a pain in the ass. A while ago, you had vendor tools, which were large. You had to install them. Some of them were working on Linux. Some were working on specific distributions, if you have the right version. It wasn't fun. And a few years ago, there were more developments on open source tool chains for FPGAs. And since then, a colleague of mine, Steffen, and I am fiddling around with these tools and trying them out and doing stuff with FPGAs. And the experience of that, I will be showing today. About me. I'm Michael Tretter. I work at Pangotronics as an embedded Linux developer in the graphics team. So usually I'm doing software in Linux, sometimes user space, sometimes drivers. So that's my background. Why am I doing FPGAs first? I will show you the open source FPGA toolchain. Then I will show you an example FPGA-based system. And in the end, I will show you the insights and pain points we had when we were developing this system and give you a conclusion and an outlook on the next steps that we are tackling. Use cases for FPGAs. You want to use them if you have real-time requirements and you need a high data throughput. That's two things that you need in graphics as well. You have high data throughput because you need to push all the image data from one point to another. You have real-time requirements because you have 30 FPS, 60 FPS that you have to address, so you have a limited time span for each frame where the frame must be finished. And another use case, or you would also use them for prototyping such systems because you can fiddle around and start experimenting with different implementations. The FPGA open source toolchain is basically these four steps. You start with some HDL description of your bitstream. Usually it's Verilog or VHDL. Then you have users, which synthesizes the code into a netlist. NextPNR routes and places the netlist for your specific FPGA implementation. So NextPNR needs to know about your FPGA architecture and which vendor you're using. So this is different for Xilinx, for Altera, which is Intel now, or Lattice. So you need to know something about your FPGA internal workings for that. And in the end, you have a packer which takes the routed bitstream with the configuration and writes an actual bitstream which consists of all the bits that configure the FPGA. That was quick, and I won't go deeper into this because, as I said, we were working on this for a while and had several talks on that. One by Steffen, you'll find it on YouTube. It's about the who's and woes of open source FPGA tools. There he will go deeper into how these tools work, how you can interact with them, how you can call them, and how all of this stuff is working. And a second talk of building open hardware with open software by me as well on YouTube. There I go into details how we automated this and put the FPGA toolchain into a Yocto-based BSP so that we have reproducibility on the bitstreams, the tools that are used, our configuration, and other providers of libraries that we are using, so we can run a specific checkout of the Git repository of our BSP and be sure that we get the same build as the last time. This is also now in our CI, so we have some CI running that takes takes the status of the bitstream and gives us a working bitstream again from the previous day. So what's in the bitstream? Usually, if you come as a Linux developer, you want to run a Linux on your bitstream. That's where you take a RISC-V, a soft core CPU. Some of them are able to run a Linux. Most of them are able, you are able to synthesize for your FPGA. So you have quite a few of these. So VEX RISC-V is one implemented in Spinal HDL. Boom, implemented in Chisel. Rocket, implemented in Chisel, or CVA-6, implemented in System Verilog. As said previously, you take code for your FPGA in some hardware description language. I said it's Verilog. Here you can see that these four cores are implemented in three different languages. So this is quite a zoo of different languages, and each of these cores takes takes some periphery to make it actually work, also implemented in the same language. So once you decide for a core, you more or less decide for which hardware description language and tools you are using. That's not something that's really flexible for us. And this is a point where LightX comes in. LightX is implemented in Migen, which is another hardware description language, which is based on Python. And it supports Linux on LightX and gives various pre-configured FPGA bitstreams that contain some RISC-V core and support various FPGA boards that you can just run. So here you see an example from the LightX Git webpage, Git repository. It shows an Acorn base board with a multi-core Linux SoC. You have some access to DDR. You have some access to SATA and UART. So this is basically an SoC that's able to run Linux with enough periphery to actually make it work. Yeah, so there is an example for that available. The question that arose was, okay, we have this example system, but we want to fiddle around with the FPGA and want to run our own bitstream in there, or at least be able to customize it to some point. So our starting question for this was, can we add our own custom cores that are written in Verilog into the bitstream that falls out of LightX? For that, we decided to come up with a demo system. So the requirements for that were we are using a Lambda Concept ECP IX5 board. You saw it before with an ECP5 FPGA by Lattice, which is supported by users and the entire toolchain. So support there is great. We want to put VEX RISC-V with Linux into the FPGA to run Linux. And because it's already there, so the demo systems have it. And we want to add to our system an LED ring, because LEDs are flashy, LEDs attract people, so it's something nice. And we want to have interaction with the system. That's why we put a hand wheel there as well, so you can, as a user, do some inputs to the system and get some feedback from the system. It didn't boot, probably because it didn't have power. So starting with VEX RISC-V with Linux, as said, LightX already supports this. You can go to the Linux on LightX repository, look for this file, and you see an implementation for VEX RISC-V running on a Lattice ECP IX5. VexRisc 5 is written in spinal HDL. That's neither MIGAN nor Verilog. In LightX, or in preparation for using it in LightX, you generate the Verilog code for this VexRisc 5 core, wrap it in Python or MIGAN, and after that, LightX can just integrate the newly created core or generated core into the SoC. There is an example target which supports Light DRAM for memory access and Light SD card for using an SD card. The LED ring supports the WS2812 protocol, which is a single wire protocol to control LEDs or more than one LED. It's usually used in Adafruit LED stripes, but you can find various cheap clones on Alibaba and wherever. There is already a core for controlling this protocol implemented in LightX, so it's there, coded in MIGAN. It works as an IO mapped bus slave. So from Linux, you just write to the registers and LEDs flash and change the colors. And on the bus, you have 4 bytes per LED, so that's the 3 colors plus whatever. Input is done via a hand wheel, which is from Amazon, which is usually used for CNC stuff, so it has 100 steps and you just can turn it around and it gives you a rotary encoder with 2 signals where you can find the direction of rotation. We took some code of the internet for that. It's implemented in Verilog. There are various examples for that. We wrapped it in Python so that we can use it in LightX. And this one runs as a bus master and is able to control the LED core via this connection. So it just sends right this color to this LED on the bus. So if you put all of it together, in the middle we have the FPGA. On the right side, we have the already existing system with the VexRisc 5 running Linux, the Light SD card, which is connected to the SD card, the Light DRAM, which is connected to our memory. All of these are put together via Wishbone bus. Details are not important. It's a memory bus to communicate between cores. On the left-hand side, upper, you see the you see the encoder, which is implemented in Verilog, which is connected to the hand wheel. So this is one thing we added to the bitstream. And we have the LED.py, which is MIGAN for the LED controller, which is also added to the bitstream and controls the LED ring. So how this is integrated into LightX? We created a new LightX target. LightX distinguishes between targets and platforms. Platforms are the actual boards. Targets are the SoC that you synthesize into your FPGA. So we took the existing platform and added a new target for our own SoC. Because it's Python, we have inheritance. We just inherited from the example base SoC with the LightX core and the other, the VexRisc 5 core and the other stuff. We configured it, instantiated it, reconfigured the pins so that we can actually connect our own peripherals, so the hand wheel and the LEDs, to the connector of the board, added the LED core and added the rotary encoder for, or in our case, it's a decoder for interacting with the hand wheel, and we are done. All of this customization is about 200 lines of Python code. So what we encountered and fixed during this process, after we added our custom cores, suddenly Linux was booting, but it was not able to access the SD card anymore. We were suspecting various problems in the end, like timing or that our bitstream generation failed or something. In the end, it turned out, due to adding our new custom cores, the memory map on the bus has changed, and the SD-ROM controller has changed its base address, and Linux didn't know about that, because we were using just the device tree that we took from the example. So we changed our Yocto build to use or to take the configuration for the Litex core, generate a device tree from that, and give it to Linux. And that way, Linux took the correct base address and uses the correct base address and is able to use the SD card again. So that's something that will come up later as well, because if you reconfigure your base system and device tree changes, you have to make sure that your device tree matches your system that you're using. And one other thing is there is some bootloader in the FPGA or in the bitstream for early bring up, which corresponds to the ROM code or the ROM bootloader that Marco mentioned previously. So it's in the bitstream. And it usually required, so we compiled the bootloader and then it started to resynthesize the bitstream, run place and route again. So this is quite fast, but it's still, in our case, 6 to 8 minutes. That's not something you want to have if you're just compiling a really small binary. So we changed our Yocto build to synthesize and build the keep enough space in the ROM in the area and compile the ROM bootloader and just put it together afterwards. So this works a lot faster if you're fiddling around there. Pain points. Megan is not really maintained anymore. There is a successor for it. It's Amaranth. Litex is currently still using Megan. Migrating it to Amaranth is not really feasible. There are ideas to change it to a new hardware description language. I'm not sure what's happening there, but we saw, especially for simulation, we saw that Megan generates invalid, very low code, or code you wouldn't want to simulate. That's something. Currently, we have to live with it. Then another observation was that the Yocto environment wasn't as reproducible as we expected. We are not sure what's the cause for that, if we are missing it somewhere in the, that there is some seed for compiling or for a place and route, which we haven't fixed. So we saw that there's sometimes a failing bitstream falling out of the Yocto build that should be actually reproducible. And we wanted to use JTAG to debug the early boot of the VexRISC V and look into it. We are already flashing our bitstream via JTAG on the the FPGA. So we have a JTAG connected to the board, but we were not able to connect it to the VexRISC V JTAG connector so that we could add the VexRISC V core to our JTAG chain. That's something we can work around. We can just use different pins, but we have to use a second JTAG for that. So that's something that's not that great and we haven't figured out yet. Coming to the conclusion, adding and customizing Litex targets is really convenient. It's something you have to figure out. You have to work into it. And but once you're in there, it's 200 lines for reconfiguring. So that is nice. The step from Blinky to just get an LED flashing to an SoC is really large. It's not really surprising because it's much more, but also from things that you have to configure, things where you misconfigured something and it's just not working, you have really many knobs that you can turn and your system will surprise you. And with all this toolchain, Lytx, there are different modules in Lytx, all of them have to be in sync. Sometimes it happens that if you just update one component, you will run into surprises. So it's really important to make sure that you have something around this entire toolchain that keeps all your tools fixed on a specific version or that you know which version you are using. Also for reporting bugs. That's Yocto doing for us, or is the plan to have. So the next steps are, maybe we want to run a kernel CI on the Linux on Lytx system, so that we can just take Linux kernel, run it against the system. There comes the problem that kernel CI expects a device tree that's upstream, which is kind of a conflict with the generation of the device stream that has to match your target. Then if we see that Linux takes ages to boot on the VexRisc 5, about 2 minutes. Not sure if that's because the core is just slow, or if there is something we are waiting for in user space that's just can be fixed. The VexRisc 5 actually supports multi-core systems. We weren't able to boot this yet. And maybe we want to look into using the same system on the Lambda concept with different VexRisc 5 cores. I said before, there are 4 different cores in different languages. All of them usually generate Verilog code, so it should be possible to integrate it into Lytx. Show me the source. It's on GitHub. So this is Yocto meta layer, where you can find the code for the LED ring or the entire SoC configuration, the code for the hand wheel, and a few other fixes that we did. So you can add this to a Yocto workspace and should be able to reproduce the bitstream that we built. So thank you for your attention. That's me. That's my colleague, Steffen. You can find us, send us an email if you have questions, or just ask me and find me somewhere. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we have time for literally one question, and this person here was the first one. Thank you for your talk. Thank you for your talk. I had one question about the address changing in the device tree. In microcontroller world, you can have a lot of microcontrollers with the same addresses for the common devices. Like for STM32, all the STM32 have the same base address for RAM.